Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive into a company which has just gone live on Crowdcube. The company is an AI technology company specializing in democratizing AI technology and making it available to a wider audience. The company is Mindstone, that was recently named as a top 50 edtech platform by The Times. We're going to be looking at the company, its core operations, and we're going to be looking at the crowdfunding round as well. To do that, we're very kindly joined today by Joshua Vola, who is the CEO. Joshua, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, as I mentioned, just gone live on Crowdcube. We're going to be discussing the crowdfunding round in some more detail later on the podcast. But before we do that, Joshua, please would you be able to give us a brief introduction, first of all to yourself, but also Mindstone, please?
Yes, of course. So born in the Netherlands, 13 years there, 10 years in Switzerland, 13 in London now. I am a self-taught engineer. Started my first business when I was 16, started a few of them. Eventually, I did do my computer science degree because I was scared someone somewhere was going to tell me I couldn't do something because I didn't have a piece of paper. After that, I then started a company called Super Awesome. That became one of the biggest kids technology companies in the world. It was acquired by Epic Games, creators of Fortnite. I have been investing in the education space for about 8 years. Angel in about 50 different startups. I'm a limited partner with Emerge Education, Fund 1, Fund 2, also a venture partner with them. They're one of the most active early stage education venture capitals in Europe. And then 4 years ago, started Mindstone, really as a culmination to everything that I have lived through myself. I always loved learning, but I hated education. And after the exit of Super Awesome, thought that there was a better way to think about how we approach learning in a world of information overload, thinking that the existing ecosystem had been built mostly or exclusively to cater to a world of information scarcity. Right? The entire model of one teacher in front of a class to distribute knowledge to as many people as possible, because that was the person that could read a book or the person that could that had the knowledge that needs to be distributed. And today we have the opposite problem, which is sifting through the information and figuring out what is actually worth paying attention to. Started building that for the last, 4 years at this point, but basically 3 years in, ChatGPT came out. And everything that we thought was going to happen, which was the whole idea of the faster the world moves around us, the more the worlds of work and learning were going to be the same, which was that as the skills that we need in order to do a job change so dramatically fast, the ability for a company or for anyone that's in the workforce to adapt to whatever is the next skill becomes a key differentiating factor. And then with ChatGPT, there was a real tipping point moment where suddenly there was this technology that would genuinely be able to make almost any knowledge worker between 10 to 40% more productive overnight by using the technology in the right way. But very few people know just how to use that technology in the right way. And so we decided to go all in. We built what is now the biggest practical AI community in the world, where we have monthly meetups in London, Madrid, Toronto, New York, Sofia, Helsinki. We're about to add Berlin, Amsterdam, Hamburg, Paris, Barcelona, Milan. So quite a few destinations. We have 1,500 people meeting in person every single month, live demoing how this technology can be used in a day-to-day job environment. And as we decided to go all in on AI, we basically now levered all the platform that we've been building for the last 4 years and help people bridge the gap between the 10 to 40% productivity increase that everyone keeps talking about and how you actually get there. We do this by taking the learnings that we get from the community and combining it with the best-in-class personalized learning technology platform that we had already built, making it very easy to jump from theory to actual practice and helping people understand how this technology gets applied in their particular job, specifically catering to non-engineers and, in many cases, basically the 90% of the company that really needs to adapt and get the benefits of this technology but doesn't quite know where to start.
Thank you very much. So that was fantastic background to Mindstone there. And we're going to be going on to discuss the problems that you're seeking to fix in a little bit more detail. But before we go any further, please just be able to give us maybe an elevator pitch in a few sentences of what Mindstone does. And then we're going to go on and we're going to look at the process. We're going to look at the target market, if you may.
Yeah, absolutely. So Mindstone bridges the gap between the potential that AI has to offer and the 10 to 40% productivity increase promised to employees across the business, but hard to materialize. So we combine the best-in-class personalized learning technology, which itself leverages a lot of AI under the hood, to improve the learning experience with the learnings from running the biggest practical AI community in the world. So it's a combination of these two things where we understand how this technology can be used on a daily basis, and we have the technology to deliver training, I guess, or to deliver the upskilling in a way that is personalized and scalable at the same time.
Thank you. So you did allude to it in your introduction, Joshua, but I do want to go back to it and really hone in on the types of people this is targeted. Do you have a set target market? Are they professionals? Are they individuals?
Yeah.
Do they have a certain level of technical expertise? It would be good to really hear a little bit more about that, please.
Yeah, so we are specifically going after the non-technical knowledge worker. So there, if you think about this as a spectrum, you have your typical engineers. They understand more of what is going on at the moment. They will likely be using more and more AI as they're building software. And they're also self-learners. Most good engineers are self-learners and they will do a lot of that. And there are also quite a few solutions to help engineers understand this particular problem. Now, you then have on the other side of the spectrum, the executives of bigger corporations. They have McKinsey, Boston Consulting Group, Ernst & Young, Accenture come in and help them understand how AI is going to change their business. And in some cases, even run workshops that help them understand how to use this technology themselves. The problem is they come in with $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a head. And if you've got a company of 50,000 people, you can't upskill 50,000 people at $5,000 a head. Where we come in is exactly that gap. It's the non-technical knowledge worker that represents 80 to 90% of the business that needs to understand not necessarily how this might change everything in the world, but how is this going to change their particular job? How can they get to that 10 to 40% productivity increase in order to either improve the quality of their work or be able to do more of it. The way that we think about this is every company is going to be confronted with a decision on AI very soon. You can either lean back and wait for half of the company to be automated, which is going to lead to job losses and real pain for lots of people, or lean in and equip the people in the business with the skills they need to leverage this technology to access the increased productivity, in which case you can maintain your staff and you can grow your business. That's kind of the bit that we really want to steer towards.
So to be clear, your target market and your aim is to educate workers of the tools available to them to improve their productivity, as opposed to enabling them to make their own AI tools. Is that correct?
Correct. This is more similar to helping people when the Office suite came out, right? Excel, Word, and Outlook. This is us helping people use AI in their job, similar to how they needed to understand how to use Excel, Outlook, and Word in their job in order to be able to be part of the new economy.
Thank you. So in terms of the process you're going to be dealing with, and this is a solution for people that maybe don't have a deep technical background, how do you go about overcoming that? What is it about Mindstone that enables these people to use AI tools effectively within their job?
Yeah, so the first thing is that we understand their use cases. We understand that through the community, and this is where the community has been so powerful and so important in our growth, is that we see 24 different demos every month from different people in different jobs on how they use AI on a daily basis. And by being able to identify these use cases, we're able to spread them to other people and then help them understand how AI actually gets applied in their job. And then the second bit is the learning platform that we built specifically looks at the individual job and the company that the person operates in and draws links between the general skills such as prompt engineering or workflow automation, and their day-to-day operating environment. It'll start to automatically contextualize and draw the links between use cases that the individual will experience on a daily or weekly basis and the skill in question. And it does so in an automated way using AI. So this is where it is very meta. We use a lot of AI under the hood to draw those links to the individual, which then allows them to much more easily understand how that technology can be used in their particular workflow.
Thank you. So you've touched on the community a number of times, Joshua, and that's something that I want to pick up on now. You know, first of all, the origins of the community, did it start around the same time as the core products that you have at the moment? If not, which one came first? And the community you speak of, you know, if you could give a little bit of scale to listeners so they can get an idea of the types of people you're speaking to, the numbers of people that you're speaking to. And the community, is that necessarily a customer base? Is that a broader audience for Mindstone? Are they potential customers? Are they stakeholders? What does it look like?
It's a very good question. So the community came before our full-on focus on AI. So we started the community because we were using a lot of AI under the hood in order to improve the learning experience. That started with 30 people in a room, and it was mostly because we were using AI in a way that was really pushing the most advanced models at the time, and we could no longer find answers to our questions online. So we were looking for other people that were actively experimenting with this technology in order to be able to share our various experiences. That started with 30 people in a room in May last year, and it grew very quickly to 60, 120, 200. We now get 400 people every month in person to our meetups in London. It has grown astronomically. On top of the 400 people in London, we get Madrid, Toronto, New York, Sofia, Lisbon, Helsinki, and all of them get hundreds of people. At this point, we have 1,500 people in person every month live demoing this technology. The community is well beyond 6,000 people at this point, and it just keeps growing. Even in Q1 this year, we grew the community by over 20% quarter on quarter, and that is off of a Q4 of last year, which is conference season. Right? Q4 is where all the biggest activities happen from an in-person activity perspective. Q1, you have January that barely registers because people are recovering from Christmas and New Year's. And even in that context, we grew the community more than 20% quarter on quarter.
Thank you. So, Joshua, how does this translate? And I'm sure this is going to be something of great interest to potential investors that may be looking at the crowdfunding campaign. How does the community translate into revenue for Mindstone? And what are the exact products that the community may be purchasing to generate you revenue?
It's a very good question again. You can think about our business model as a three-tiered approach. There is the free tier, which is the community itself. Anyone can turn up to an event, so long as they're interested and they're respectful, and they want to engage and learn, they can turn up to an event in any city. We tend to run this with partners so that pizza and beer is included. It becomes a nice way for everyone to exchange and lean in to what this technology might be able to do for their respective jobs. Now, that allows us to cut through the noise because we focus on live demos. We don't do slide presentations. And often what happens is at those events, people finally understand, like, okay, this is much more than the Web3 wave or the NFT wave or all of the things that they've been asked to understand over the last 5, 6, 7 years. And really none of it actually mattered that much yet. So that's the first bit. As they turn up, they finally understand how it might be useful. They then join one of our cohorts around AI competency or AI mastery. AI competency is for people that have zero knowledge on AI. It's really to help them understand, take their first few steps in understanding how to use AI in their daily jobs. It's the most popular program we had. It's the first program we had. And AI mastery is kind of the follow-on from that. What we see is after they've joined one of those programs, and this is a paid program, by the way, We run those once or twice a month. Then they often come back to their respective companies. They then talk about the fact that they finally understood how to use this technology to be more productive, and that really the rest of the company should be joining the program in order to unlock that productivity across the business. And so you can think about this as a three-tiered approach, where the key is that the community helps us cut through the noise and really punch above our weight from a visibility and thought leadership perspective.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So I just want to talk about, you know, the wider market now and perceptions of AI. And this really comes from the community that you have and the feedback that you're getting. What's the biggest thing you feel, Joshua, people are getting wrong about AI at the moment?
That it doesn't apply to them. That it is only somehow applicable in marketing or sales, and that because these models hallucinate, that means you can't use them in work. What is interesting is people keep talking about how these models aren't perfect and they make up information, and then you totally forget that people hallucinate. People make up information. People are not perfect. That doesn't mean people are not productive. And so the biggest thing that people tend to get wrong is that they try to apply this technology in areas where technology has been useful in the past. What is interesting is that this technology is the opposite of all the technology that we've had before. Technology before this, at least technology that was useful in the workforce, was deterministic. You always got the same output for the same input you put in. This technology is non-deterministic. You don't get the same answer with the same input. You can put in the same input 100 times and get a different output every single time. So the areas in which this technology is useful are exactly the areas where technology was never useful before. It is a great thought partner. It is a great brainstorm partner. It can play devil's advocate on the strategy you're building. It can access and enhance the workflows that people didn't think technology was able to operate in for quite a while longer.
Thank you, Joshua. So this actually goes very nicely into my next point here. And this is the real world outcomes of Mindstone. You know, if you can, I don't know whether you want to name them or you don't want to endorse any particular apps, but I think it'd be good for people that are listening to get a little bit more in the way of detail of specific tasks, maybe specific apps that you find are very popular among the community, you know, where the most efficiencies coming from in the workflows, what particular workflows, which apps are feeding into those. Any details that you can give on that, Joshua, I think would be fantastic.
So the good thing is that the apps that are most effective are accessible to everyone and they're not very expensive. And they're the obvious ones, which are ChatGPT, Perplexity, Zapier, and the other suites. So you have Anthropic's Claude, you have Copilot, and so on. Now, what we focus on is purely the practical bit of AI. So we specifically don't try and look in the niches where maybe a few people will get additional usage out of. We don't look at how these models, how they're built. We don't look at what might happen in 5 years. We help you understand how to use those key things that everyone has heard about in your day-to-day. So to give you a direct example, in the course, we use a combination of ChatGPT and Zapier to automatically build an email bot that answers questions based on a company's policy documents, only answers them directly if the bot is confident that the answer is accurate. And if it is not confident, loops in somebody else from the company to answer instead. All of that is done within a 50-minute live session, and it builds on the start of the program. So the program goes through prompt engineering, which is basically helping you understand how to use ChatGPT in a way that's productive for work. Then we move into a little bit of an ecosystem overview, introducing you to Perplexity, introducing you to the comparisons between Claude and ChatGPT and Copilot. And then we move into the Zapier bit, which is what I just explained. Now, to give you another example of ChatGPT and where that can be extremely powerful is in a brainstorm or devil's advocate partner, which is that maybe you're building a big presentation for a marketing project, or you are arguing or discussing a new feature in in your app, or you are thinking about rolling out an HR project within the business, and you use ChatGPT to point out which part of your plan need the most enhancement, where it could use more refinement, where you will likely get the most pushback. And you can do that as a great thought partner, making your project dramatically better before you even have to present it. It cuts out a lot of cycles, it makes the quality of your work better, and often means that you don't have to go through four or five iterations with other people in the business, because you've done most of those iterations on yourself with ChatGPT as a thought partner already. So that's a great example of how this technology can be used to enhance your work.
Thank you very much. So let's move on now, if we may, Joshua, and look at the crowdfunding round just gone live on Crowdcube. You know, people listening to this that are looking for AI investments may be interested in Mindstone. So, you know, some questions about the campaign. Why now? Why raise funds at this point in your life cycle?
So there were two things for that. One is we had raised some professional venture capital in order to extend some of the runway before we get to Series A. So you could look at it as a bridge round to Series A. The reason we're looking at it from a crowdfunding perspective is purely that we owe so much to the community that we didn't want to exclude them. And so we specifically allocated a part of the funds we're raising now through Crowdcube in order to make it accessible to people that show up to our events, to people that have helped us grow to now, and to people that are excited about this particular space. The last 6 months have seen us transform the company. We now see an extremely appealing market, and we think it is time to really accelerate. We now start to have the numbers, and we'll likely be looking at a Series A soon. But in order to not wait longer and not waste the early mover advantage that we have right now, we wanted to make sure we were capitalized well enough to really grab it.
Thank you. So another question that I'm sure potential investors will have, Joshua, is how are the funds going to be deployed in order for you to meet your long-term goals for the company?
Very good question. And most of these are going to be deployed around community and sales. At this point, so we have a product team that is very well functioning, and I am currently the only person dedicated to sales. And we have one person on the marketing side and one person on the community side. That's the part that we'll be doubling down on. That's the model that we now know works. So we'll be doing more events and be more strategic on helping people move through the funnel from showing up to a community event, being able to take an AI competency program, and then work on the top of funnel with companies to help entire companies move through that and be much more strategic and much more effective at converting that funnel.
So final question now. Thank you very much for your very comprehensive answers, Joshua. But this is bringing into something that you did mention at the beginning and your past, obviously, from building Super Awesome, achieving an exit, building a startup and taking it through to an exit is something that you have a deep experience in. What particularly from that experience can you bring to Mindstone and obviously achieve the goals, hopefully, that you've seen in the past?
The biggest thing, I'd say that there are two things. One is grit, which is that people underestimate the impact that effort has on the success of a company. And the fact I've gone through it before means I know it works, which allows me to power through in some situations where others might not see the light at the end of the tunnel. The other thing is a healthy disregard for the average opinion. Today, most of the consulting world, most of the business world today, is starting to really understand that AI is changing the game. But there are still a lot of people out there that say that it is too early, it can't be used in an enterprise context, and you have to jump through a whole bunch of different loops before you can have the right conversation. Being comfortable at not following the average opinion, being comfortable understanding that we might know something the rest of the world is about to know, and making sure we're building the company for the world that we know inevitably is going to be there, is exactly the type of thing that gets you to be at the right place at the right time. And that requires a certain level of conviction, which worked for us at Super Awesome, and I think will work for us again here.
Thank you very much, Joshua. Just as a note to listeners, please do check out the notes to this podcast, because there'll be a link through to Mindstone's crowdfunding campaign. We'll be able to find some more information, download the deck, and have a deeper look at the company. But just one last point here, Joshua. Maybe people listening to this that are very interested in your events and your programs, how do they go about accessing those?
So go to mindstone.com. And you will be able to book your place on a cohort instantly. And we're about to go live with a full self-serve version in about a week and a half to 2 weeks. So if you go to the website at that point, you should be able to instantly get going as well.
Great. What we're going to do is also, we're going to put a link through to the Mindstone website. People listening to this that would like to explore that further, do check out that link and you'll go through there. I've logged in myself, very easy to use. And just looking here, there's a number of events coming up in London in the not too distant future. So if you would like to join the community, do check those out and you'll be able to get yourself signed up to those. So Joshua, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.